please join me. Let's sing together Terekot Chaf Aleph for all of Har Israel, and then we'll be able to begin. Thank you. Shir lama alos esainai el heharim me'ayin yavo ezri ezri me'im adonai ose shamayim ba'aretz al yitein lamot raklacha al yanum shomerecha hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer yisrael adonai shomerecha adonai tzilecha al yad yiminecha Yomam Hashem Eshlo Yakeka, Deyareach Ba Laila, Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra, Yishmor Es Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzeisecha Uvoecha, Me'ata Ve'ad Olam. Achinu Kodesh Yisrael, Hanusunim Batzara Uvashigya, Omidim Bein Hayam Uvein Ve'avasha, Hamakom Yirachem Alehem, Yotziem Mitzara Lerbacha, Ume'afeva Le'ora, ומשיבוד לגולה, השתה בגולה ובזמן קריא ונאמר אמן. I feel like I'm going to be preaching to the choir because each and every one of you who came tonight shows us that you're the people who really understand the importance of summer vacation and want to make sure that your children have a healthy and happy and productive summer. So I thank you for coming, and I hope that any of the words that I say will be a little bit helpful to you, although you could probably write the script yourself. Glorious summer is coming. The countdown to summer vacation. Ask any eighth grader, how many days till graduation? They'll tell you the days, the hours, the minutes, probably even the seconds. All the children are looking forward to summer vacation. Now ask that same question to the parents, and you're going to get perhaps a different answer. Unfortunately, there are parents, no one in this room, who actually dread summer vacation. What should I do with my children? How do I entertain them? How do I balance work and taking care of my children? The summer is going to be long and hot and stressful. This evening, I would like B'Siyata D'Shmaya to take a deep dive into the value of summer vacation and how we can best utilize it for our benefit and for the benefit of our children. The Tells Rosh Yeshiva of Tells Yeshiva Chicago, Avraham Chaim Levine, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was very makpid during the Zman about Seder and about Bitul Zman, about wasting time during Seder. Everybody knew that. But when it came time to Bein Hasdarim, which means the breaks during the day, he was equally makpid that the Bachrim take a break. He wanted them to eat. He wanted them to relax. He even wanted them to play ball. And when summer vacation came, when Bein Hazmanim came, he would take his family to an undisclosed destination before the days of cell phones, and he was nowhere to be found. You could not reach the Rosh Yeshiva during those weeks of Bein Hazmanim because it was devoted to his wife and his family. I think that says it all. That really, that's mostly for us. That is what we need to aspire to. I'd also like to quote from this wonderful sefer that I really believe every family should have, every couple should read, and you should discuss it together and implement and integrate and internalize so many of the lessons. This is written, not written by, but it's written of all the shmuzim of Rav Matisyahu Salomon, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Mashgiach in Gateshead, and then the Mashgiach in Beis Medrash Gevorah in Lakewood. And what he has in here is so valuable. I can go on and on and on. I actually gave this sefer out to my moros a number of years ago at the end of the year. At the end of the year, I try to give them something. This is a sefer that we had, and I quoted from it all the time, and they quote from it, they learn from it, and it's really good. Okay, so page 67, I'm just going to very two short little parts of a paragraph, okay? Attention and love. Why are there more problems with children in our times than generally were in earlier times? It's not a simple question, and the answers are likewise not simple. Life has become increasingly complicated in modern times, and complicated times can cause all sorts of complications. I want to focus on one important factor. This is Rav Atisho Solomon speaking. It seems to me that parents no longer have enough time for their children. The pace of modern life is very fast. Everyone is busy today. The father is busy, the mother is busy. And they're busy doing good things, and they simply do not have enough time to give to their children. The children are not getting the attention they need, and they feel it. Sometimes they can actually feel that their parents consider them a hindrance in their lives in a certain sense. A child has to feel that his parents care about him, that they're interested in him, that he is at least as important as some of the other things going on in his parents' life. If he feels he's being allowed to fall by the wayside, a spark of resentment and even hatred will arise in his little heart, where it can smolder until it bursts forth and causes untold damage. It can break families apart, and all because there was not enough time for the child. It is a terrible thing when a child thinks his parents aren't interested in him, when he wants something and they have neither the time nor the patience to listen to him. A child needs special care and special attention. He feels safe and protected if he knows that he's the focus of his parents' world. And I'll stop there. There's a lot more. Summer. Glorious summer is our opportunity to bond with our children. No tests, no homework, no pressure, just summertime. We have to make the most of this time with our children. Now, I know, different ages, different stages, but no matter what age or stage, one thing is for sure, every child thrives on attention from his or her parents. Watch me scooter. Watch me ride my bike. Watch me climb on the jungle gym. Watch me hit a home run. There's no greater delight for a child than being the center of their parents' attention. Now, I'm going to date myself. And I'm going to suggest tonight some very old-fashioned activities that we used to do in the summer with our kids, because we couldn't afford camp. We couldn't even afford day camp, let alone sleepaway camp. And summer was glorious because I was a mora for, whatever, over 25 years before I became an ahelas. And in those wonderful years when I was a mora, I actually had summer vacation together with my children. And I loved every second of it and tried to utilize every second to spend time with my children, because during the rest of the year, I had very little time for them because I was so busy concentrating on everybody else's children. Okay, well, we're not going to embellish on that. Okay. First thing. Take them to the park. I don't think people know what a park is, but it's a great place. There are swings and there are slides, and there are places for the boys to play ball, and there are places to scooter and ride bikes, and there's a sandbox. And yes, it's good for children to get dirty, and to play at a sandbox. And if you really want to splurge, you can go to the dollar store, and for $1.25, you could buy a pail and shovel, and they will make sandcastles and tunnels and bridges, and they'll make bakeries of cakes and cookies out of sand and mud. I'm telling, and yes, they'll be dirty, and they'll need a bath and a shower at night, but so what? That's great. They're going to take a bath and shower anyway. They might as well be dirty. You have no idea how healthy and entertaining. And if you sit and watch them in the sandbox and compliment their mud pies, nothing like it. At home, you could turn on the sprinkler in the backyard and let them put on their bathing suits, and of course the girls with their cover-ups, and run around in the water. Now again, if you want to splurge, you could have ball playing there. You can jump rope in the water. You can even get a splash pad, and one of those, you know, slidey things or something. But you don't need it. Just running back and forth in and out of the sprinkler, it's so much fun. And if you're watching, that's what makes it really fun. On a rainy day, baking and cooking, nothing like it. And I want to tell you something. For teenage girls, the bonding with their mother, learning how to bake and cook, and making something for Shabbos, and making a treat for the family, and then the compliments that everybody gives afterwards, and the enjoyment and the feeling of pride that a child has, there's nothing like it. And I want to tell you something. This year, I have a little group, 4 or 5 8th graders, who help me every single morning between 8 and 8:30, when the girls come early, before we open up the classrooms and they go into the classroom, the mowers come, and the girls are dropped off early. And they help me supervise in the lunchroom, you know, watching the children, making sure nobody gets hurt and things like that. So I don't pay them. I don't buy them. I don't give them gift cards from Amazon or Target or whatever it is. What do? Every few weeks, they come to my house on Sunday, and we bake, and we cook. And we made challah, and we made kuchen cake, and we made potato kugel, and we made cheesecakes for Shavuos. I'm telling you. And of the 5 girls, a number of them mentioned to me that they never, ever cook or bake with their mothers. And they love it. They love it. They look forward to it. It's so special for them. So I'm just telling you, this is, and even little children, you make meatballs for supper, let your 5-year-old son make the balls and throw them into the pot. There's nothing like it. Yes, it'll spritz all over the place. You'll have to wash the stove afterwards. It's worth it. Give them the opportunity. They're going to love it. Play-Doh. Remember Play-Doh? It's still a favorite. They love it. Even buying chalk, right? The outside chalk that they can... And don't worry, the rain will come and it'll be erased. It's fine. But they can make hopscotches, and they can draw pictures, and they can make designs. And they love you. They love when you watch it, and you look at it, and you see it afterwards, and you compliment them. They also love playing school. So the older siblings can play school with the younger siblings. They can figure out how to do it with the teddy bears, whatever they want to do, but that's always fun. And then, here's really fun, putting on a family performance. If you have multiple age children, then you have those who are writing the script, those who are making the songs, those who are making the costumes or collecting the costumes, those who are making the scenery and the props, and those who like to play music, you know, or whatever they do, to get a musical accompaniment. And then they have to practice and practice and practice. And then when they're ready, Mommy and Tati are the audience. And they sit on the couch. And in the family room or the living room, the children put on the performance. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. It is phenomenal. And it's all their creativity. But you're giving it to them. You're giving them the ability to do it. And you're connecting with them in such a beautiful way. Chicago is a city of chesed. Chicago Center, here we are. Chesed Chicago, Chicago Mitzvah Campaign, the Ark. There are shelves to stock. There are elderly people to visit. Take your children to a nursing home. Take your children to the Chicago Mitzvah Campaign. You can talk to Rabbi Wolf. He'll find an opportunity for you to bring your children. They can interact with the seniors who come there every day. There are so many things that can be done. The children can make things for children in the hospital through Chai Lifeline. Talk to people in Chai Lifeline. They'll give you ideas. Chesed, it's endless what you can do. And these are all things that the children enjoy doing, and there's nothing like giving them an opportunity to do for others. It's such a positive experience for them on so many levels. And yes, once in a while, you could take a trip. You could go to a zoo. You could go to a museum on a free day. You can go bowling if you really, you know, if you go to Tel Aviv and you get the free bowling. You can go miniature golfing if you really want to splurge. Or you could go for an ice cream. You can go for a pizza, but don't do it every day. No. Twice a month. Maybe once a week if you're a really big spender. Okay? And so they'll look forward to that day. Maybe one day of the week is a trip date. Whatever. However you want to do it. But the idea is, no big expectations. Telling the children, it's not what we're doing, it's how we're doing it. We're doing it together. We're doing it as a family. And we're doing it with no pressure. You don't have to get up early in the morning and get dressed in your uniform and be out of the house by a certain time. You don't have to do homework at night or study for a test or worry about it. It's just fun time. Summer is fun. And if you frame it that way, and you live it, and you love it, they will too. So, bottom line, your children are the most special gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to you. And you're going to give them a special gift. And that special gift is your love and attention. And there's no better time to do it than summer vacation. So I want to wish each and every one of you a beautiful, enjoyable, safe, healthy, and happy summer vacation. And if you run out of ideas, call me, 773-583-1585, or you can reach me at school. I'll be there every day, extension 401. And we'll brainstorm. We'll come up with new ideas. Because summer should be fun, and summer should be meaningful, and summer should be a wonderful experience for you and your children. Thank you.
Kids, but just so you all know, in case I do throw it out there, Smart Kids is our abuse prevention education program that I run at JCFS. We developed it 4.5 years ago. And for those of you who may be familiar with Safety Kit, it's kind of the same thing. The cool part is that every year, based on feedback, based on needs, based on changing research and information, we do update and change. And hopefully with the changing times, we can continue to educate the children in an empowering and safe way. And it's for preschool through fifth grade. And we're in Baruch Hashem, almost all of the day schools in the city, so we're very lucky to do that. So that's like the backdrop image I'm coming with. I may like throw in some terminology here and there, just so you all know what I am referring to. But you also will see on the back there, there's our characters are hanging out there just because I had to bring them. They'll be at the health and safety fair if you want to come bring your kids. They're actually 3 feet. So I want to start with a moment that might feel kind of familiar. So it's a summer afternoon, and all of a sudden your child comes to you and goes, Mommy, I don't want to go back to camp tomorrow. And a lot of us are probably thinking that moment, like a lot can go through your mind. Oh my gosh, we want to reassure them, we want to fix them, we want to be like, we're just trying to get through the day. Please don't tell me now that you don't want to go to camp tomorrow. I just paid all this money, I need you to like camp, and yesterday you liked camp. But in that moment, right, and there are a million things we can say, and I know it's hard. In that moment, this is a really great opportunity, and one of the many small moments that I'm going to talk about, of whether a child feels safe coming to us. In that moment, they are trying to get your attention. It doesn't really matter exactly how you respond, but that reframe for that moment is like, if you're thinking about taking this opportunity, like Mrs. Winehouse said, to create that connection, and I'm going to talk about the safety piece, right? Especially in a less structured environment, I'm going to come back to this simple idea of the kids need to feel, okay, safe, seen, soothed, and secure. I'm going to talk about all four of those. That is a framework. I did not create it. I'm not that smart. It's a framework that was developed by professionals Dan Siegel and Tina Bryson, for those of you who might be in that field. And they're experts in child development. And I want to use that framework to talk a little bit about not to do more. We already have a lot on our plates. But how to shift a little bit of those moments that are already happening and make them a little more intentional. So in that moment, when we're already trying to build that relationship with our kids, let's just think about the safety aspect for a second. So physical and emotional safety. So yes, we are all trying to help our children be safe, right, and feel safe in all the spaces where they learn, they play. Yes, we're trying to encourage helmets, and we're trying to ensure they don't get hurt when they're outside, and helping them with walking across the street, and making sure that they aren't riding anything unsafe, and all of those things, right? But we're not only talking about that. We're also thinking about how we can make sure that anything that we do is not a source of harm. And I don't mean that in like a bad, negative way. I just mean that we are trying to be aware of what we're doing and what we're saying, and we're not putting them in a situation where they have to ever be afraid of our response. Okay? So obviously meeting the physical needs of our children, providing those practical protection through the helmets, through, you know, the seatbelts. Appropriate supervision is a huge one, and I know it's easy during the summer to kind of forget about that, but I will say thank you, Mrs. Winehouse, for mentioning, like, watch your kids, but supervision is, like, a huge thing. Not only does it create that connection, but it's actually a really easy way to make sure you know where your kids are. But, I'm not going to go on that sandbox now, but children should also feel secure in their environments, and that means that the adults around them will respond if something is wrong, and they're paying attention. So I also think about emotional safety, and the fact is that children should be able to trust that when we have adults around us, they're not going to respond in a way that will frighten them or scare them or respond in a way that can feel harmful to them, right? So easy things that we are already doing, body language, just noticing that our body language is calm and approaching it in that way, even if inside, I like to use the metaphor of a duck swimming on the water. So yeah, like on the outside, you look nice and calm. In the inside, you are paddling furiously trying to get through that moment and that day. I get it. I know. But we're trying to show that and show up in that moment for our kids, because that calm, that gentle tone, that approach, that relaxed facial expression, all of that in that quick moment, that communicates so much more than just, I'm here for you, but also that safety, that warmth, like, I'm a safe person that you can come to, and when you need me, I am here, right? Because if you're saying it and being, like, angry without realizing it, or you're stressed in that moment, that kid's picking up, and instead of feeling like you are somebody that you can go to, they're thinking, Mommy's scared. Mommy's scary right now. I do not want to go anywhere near her. She looks really upset. And you could. You could still have that moment where you're still very frustrated, but when you're trying to respond to your child in that moment, and they're, especially if they're asking for help, that is so important that you're going to make sure that the child feels comfortable. They can come to you. They feel safe being themselves, asking for help, making mistakes. All of those things are foundational for the relationship that we're trying to build with our children. And remember, we make mistakes all the time. It's not even just the mistakes that we make, it's the repair. So I'm sure you've heard this a lot, but it's actually what we do afterwards. So you can have a moment where you're feeling really angry, really frustrated, or whatever, and then say, you know what, I need a moment. Like, I put myself in a timeout as an adult, and it really works. Because my kids, they're really mad because they're now can't access me for a minute. But I'm like, I need a moment to calm down and relax. So I put myself in a timeout rather than having to argue with them and say that. And I'm like, I'm going to go into a space that feels calm and comforting for me for 5 minutes. I'm going to take a moment to breathe, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm so excited to spend time with you. But I can't do that right now because I'm feeling very stressed and upset, and it's not about you, right? And if I still make that mistake, I can still go back and repair that relationship and say, I'm so sorry that I responded that way. This wasn't about you. I'm sorry I took it on you. And kids see that, you know. Obviously, we're human. So when we are able to turn back and say, hey, I've made that mistake, I did that, as kids get older, they're smarter, and they realize people make mistakes, and we can repair, and we can fix that. And so that's really important, even after, like, there's going to be conflict, especially during the summer months. There is always conflict, but you're modeling that for them. Again, I'm a safe person you can come to, even though I make a mistake. That's not going to deter them from coming to you. The next piece I want to mention about is, okay, so let's go back to that story for a moment, right? Kids, like, in that moment, I don't want to go to camp, right? The first thing before anything else is the child needs to feel safe. So with you trying to, like, say all these things to this child in that moment, what they're trying to do is connect with you, and they want to feel not just physically safe, right? But they want to feel safe that even if something is uncomfortable, or they don't want to feel like they're being rushed or dismissed, even if they're telling you this 5 hours after they've already been supposed to go to sleep. But, like, here is that moment, right? Your response could be, oh, you'll be fine. It's fine. We'll talk about it in the morning, right? That message, without us meaning to, is like, this isn't a place for hard things. You're having a hard time. That's not what we're meaning to say, obviously. But, like, you'll be fine is brushing it off. Instead, and I always think about the mental health piece here, but, like, we're shifting, so we want to pause and say, even for a few seconds, like, something must feel different for my child for whatever reason. Today was a harder day for them. So, like, tell me more. Tell me more about that experience for a few minutes. Like, you know, it seems like something has happened, something has changed between today and yesterday. What about camp is making you upset or angry or whatever? Don't fill in the words they don't say, but ask more about it, right? It doesn't take that long. It's just a few minutes, right? In the work I do with kids, there is that minute when we tell the kids, pay attention to what we call an uh-oh feeling. So if we are actually telling kids, they're having whatever it is, maybe they're not naming it as an uh-oh feeling, but in that moment they're saying, something feels a little off for me. Something doesn't feel so comfortable. And it doesn't mean that we're just going to pat everything and say everything's fine. And we're also not going to say, well, just because something's uncomfortable means that you can't do anything. That is not what I'm saying. I think we just need to stop for a second and say, wow, so glad that you noticed something felt different for you, and let's see how we can work through it. Because it's okay to have an uncomfortable feeling. You don't want them to feel unsafe, obviously. But in order for that to work and for us to hear that and to be able to say, wait, you're having that uh-oh feeling, let me listen to what you're saying about that, let me hear you out for 2 minutes, kids need to be able to believe that there is that space to be able to bring those feelings to an adult. And if they don't have that, that's not where they're going to respond to, right? So when a child comes to us and they're feeling like something, it's something small usually. It starts off pretty small and unclear, even if it doesn't seem like a big deal to you. Oftentimes it feels much bigger to that kid, right? Those are the moments when we can lean in and we can say, you know what? This child's trying to tell me something. They're trying to get my attention. Why do you think that kid needs 5 million drinks before bed? They want to spend time with you. It's not because they're trying to push up that time. I mean that too. But they're trying to spend time with you. What are they really telling you? What is the deeper point here of what they're trying to say? And if we took a moment to stop and say, what is it for you tonight that's making it really difficult? You're not going to bed when I need you to. And if you are able to do that, it can reduce a lot more conflict and stress in the future because you're able to connect with them in that moment. And so, moving on to, like, the scene piece, okay? So I like to think about scene as giving choice and voice. I know, like, we've probably heard of that terminology before, but it's really about, like, being able to give kids the ability to be able to feel seen and heard. And then what that means is that when a child shares some experience, wow, mommy, look at the Lego I made. Wow, do you see that I did all this by myself? Look at how high I climbed, right? That feeling, they need to know that that's not going to be dismissed or taken, like, lightly. Again, like Mrs. Winehouse said, I'm just going to say, like, that is really important. You giving them a moment to be able to connect with them, right? And listening to that small moment and what they're saying is huge for them. It goes so far, right? So listening really is the communicating that what their experience is, what their world is so much more important than anything else that you have to do. You're there in that moment anyway. Like, just need that moment, right? Because then it says, my world matters. I'm somebody that matters. It's not just like, oh, wow, my parent likes my puzzle that I just did or my artwork that I just did. It's, oh, you want to connect with me? You care about me. You care about my world. You want to relate to me, right? And they don't get a lot of choice in their day-to-day. If you think about it, go to school, do your homework, eat your dinner, brush your teeth, go to bed. You know, even as they get older, same kind of things, right? The pressures just get more. They don't really have so much choice outside of what is expected of them. So giving them the ability to be like, I can express myself. I have something creative. I want to share this with you, right? Even when we ask those open-ended questions, like, what's one story from camp that you want to share with me? What is something you learned or is exciting? Who did you play with today at camp or school or whatever, right? Because especially for young children, school and home is their entire universe. They don't necessarily have a ton of extracurriculars. As they get older, they do, but that's so much they rely on the adults around them to show that genuine curiosity and to feel valued in their experiences. So again, 5 minutes of undivided attention can go so far in that. And it's really interesting too, because I quote this research a lot, but the research shows that even a child has one trusted adult, and we talk about trusted adults a lot in Smart Kids, but if a kid has one trusted adult, somebody that they know they consistently can go to, even just one, it can have a profound impact on their lives. And especially for a child who might be experiencing some kind of hardship, that is extremely important to them. So when children feel that an adult, even just one, really cares about their experiences in their life, they're more likely to come forward if there is any kind of concern or there's an issue that arises, whether it's safety related or not. But I will say for sure when it's safety related. And you can spend an entire day with a child and not even really make them feel seen for whatever reason. And you can spend 5 minutes with a child and make them feel so seen and so, like, you're so in that present moment, no phone, no multitasking, no doing a million things of work. And those 5 minutes can mean more than the entire day they might have spent with a child being distracted. Sometimes I will say that kids don't come with like a full story. They don't have like a ton that they want to share in that moment or that experience. They come with like a feeling. And so even that experience or that feeling that they're trying to relay is actually like, even if that's vague and if you're really listening for it, tell me a little bit more about that. I want to hear more. They're more willing to share that experience. And again, that is when they're more likely. Those are small moments that build up over time. And in the end, they're more likely to share those bigger experiences and those bigger moments over time. But they have to build that trust, right? And then I also want to mention about the soothe piece. This is like the emotional support, the co-regulation piece that a lot of people, you know, recommend for that. Because we have the safety, we have the trust, right? And now we have children who have a lot of emotions, who have a better sense of being able to process their emotions. So children often, they experience really big emotions and they don't have the tools to always process and regulate themselves. So that's why they need, through their nervous system, they need co-regulation, which essentially is like, I'm telling my nervous system is telling your nervous system it is safe. You are here and I am here. I'm here with you, right? So in order to get to that point, we need to actually check in with ourselves too. So a soothing adult can move through those difficult feelings way differently than an adult can. But if we are able to be that soothing adult, then we are able to sit with that child and just in that moment, acknowledging that they have emotions, helping them feel like what they are experiencing is important, again, as we were saying before, but being mindful of your own state. Like, if you need to check in and be like, I need to step out, this is not a day that I can spend a ton of time with my child because I'm, you know, something's going, as a hardship or whatever. Again, it doesn't mean no time at all. It just means we have to think about and be specific about those moments that we are spending so that children don't feel burdened by adult emotions. So you just want to remind people, you know, at the end of the day, the regulation is really about like being authentic. And you could say, I'm having a hard day right now. You know, so I'm going to take a few deep breaths. In my house, we have a calm corner, and it's literally just a spot on the couch. And I don't send my kids to time out right away. I try to do the co-regulation first because they're more receptive to hearing if I say, we're going to the calm corner and we're going to find a way to calm down. So do you want to listen to some music? Do you want to read a book? Do you want mommy to sit with you? Sometimes it's literally just me sitting there on the couch next to them, 5 minutes. And they'll get up in 5 minutes and they'll be perfectly fine. They just need a moment to just stop. And we have that ability in the summer to just like slow down and do that. And I really like to name those big emotions for my kids. And they're little, but there's so much that they can do and they can notice those feelings. My 7-year-old, literally when he was 3, he was like, I'm anxious, mommy. And I was like, I don't think you really know what you're saying. But those are the types of things that kids, as they get bigger, they're going to notice those emotions more. But again, you're being able to share some of that. It's a soothing piece, right? And I know our instinct is try to fix right away, to solve it. It's so hard to sit with that difficult emotion that a child is feeling and you're feeling at the same time. But sometimes it's like, I'm here for you. We're just going to sit here. We're going to calm down. And then that could do so much more than all the words. And the last piece is the security piece. So I like to talk about consistency and trust and predictability. In that, really, security is the piece of the reliability and consistency. So obviously the predictability that we can provide our children in the summer is extremely valuable, because even though the summer months are so different than the rest of the year, because we don't have that same consistency, we can create some level of consistency. We can take like expectation of a routine. You get up in the morning at some point, you get up, you daven, you get dressed, you eat breakfast, whatever it is. Whatever your system is, if your kids are going to camp, it's even easier to do that, right? But I always like to think about the security is not just your individual relationships and how you're creating that, but also children need systems that are going to support their safety, such as we have amazing schools, we have amazing shuls, right? Community organizations. And these are places that need to have clear policies. I will just say, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you can ask your camp if they have a policy for child safety. If kids know that other people are looking out for their own good and their own safety, they know that somebody's going to be reliable in the response should a concern arise. You're not always there, right? Think about overnight camp. You're not there to necessarily be able to respond. And so if you can trust that camp to be able to respond in that moment if something happens, you can ask those questions. You can call them up and say, I just want to know your policies. You know, have you gotten mandated reporting training? If so, what does that look like? Like, I go around and I do train. So if they need a place, you can call me. But it's really important because kids need to have multiple adults. I tell them in trusted, when I talk about trusted adults, I tell them have 5 and they can change their trusted adult because a lot of them are their teachers of that year and that's going to change, or you're going to camp and you want to have a trusted adult in camp. I want them to have at least 5 trusted adults, people they can consistently go to. I tell them go home, talk to your grown up at home because I don't know who they are. But it's really important that kids actually know who to turn to for help and why that person is helpful. So I will say, like, as a community, when we take the safety aspect seriously through all of these things, we're creating an entire safer community that isn't just responding to our own children, but also, like, the entire ecosystem that we're trying to create. And so, yes, it's hard to be able to create all of that, but I name that because, like, that is what I try to do every day. And so if anyone wants to be a part of it, you can check out. We're trying to create a smart parent network, and I hope you will consider being part of that. Just a plug for that. But at the end of the day, security really is those small routines, those small check-ins, even just a kid knowing roughly how the day is going to go, or approximately who is going to be where or whatever, if you or your spouse are not home, like who's going to be at home picking them up. Like, you'd be surprised how much kids actually care about that level of consistency. And so at the end of the day, like, when we remind our kids that there are many people in this system who can help us and keep us safe, that is, like, a tremendous amount of CT that we are providing them to, because they're not just relying on that one person, which may be you initially. So I just leave you with this, and that is, it's a child's job to be a child. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. I say it a lot, but it's really true, because at the end of the day, like, we're going to give them all these amazing tools and we are going to empower them. But at the end of the day, they need to know that there's an adult who can go, they can go to, they have somebody they can turn to. It shouldn't feel like it's their responsibility to keep themselves safe. And I don't think that they do now. But we just need to remember that that is why we partner with all of you to be able to do these things. Because safety isn't one conversation. It's many different everyday interactions that we can have. And so those skills that I talked about before, of the uh-oh feeling, the trusted adult, those kinds of things only work when adults are actually responding and creating that kind of environment where a child can feel safe using those. Okay? And again, we're not going to get it right all the time. We are going to get distracted. We are going to get frustrated. We are going to be stressed out. We're human. What matters most is that we're coming back to the repair, reconnecting, and we're showing our kids that no matter what, when the relationship is safe, then they are safe. So if there's one thing that you can kind of hold on to this summer, it's when kids feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure, they don't just feel more connected in that moment. They feel safe to come to you when it really matters. So, I'm going to leave
that. Thank you very much, Ms. Trefusky. Really appreciate you coming and collaborating with us. We have Mrs. Debbie Kardash. She's next. We have Mrs. Kardash is LCSW in private practice. She's worked for many, many years for REACH and JDBY and all the other schools in the community. She works with women, individuals, couples, all different capacities, what she does to help people become the best version of themselves. So thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much, Abigail. She is a pleasure to work with. And what more fun could I have than being on a panel with Maura Winehouse and Bracha Jakovsky? Maura Winehouse wasn't kidding. My 31-year-old's best part of junior high was baking with her for Shabbaton. And I just want the cooking cake. This is a daunting task. Before I start, I want to ask, who is off in the summer? Anyone in here off in the summer? Raise your hands.
That was my question I was going
to
ask.
I'm going to ask, who is actually off in the summer? Okay, it's like two hands. Who is trying to work in the summer and manage? Oh, okay. I got to know the playing field. All right. So I have this, like, lofty goal, and then I have, like, this logistical piece. And I was looking at some of the questions that we're going to be asked to answer as a panel, and I'll probably address a few of them before we get started. I'm like, before I start, I would like us to take a moment and to imagine that it's August 30th. I am not rushing your summer away, okay? But we're just planning to see, okay? Hang on, because I'm going to let you back to June. Okay. And that we're sitting on August 30th, and it's quiet, and you have about a half an hour to yourself. I know it's like all fantasy, okay? And we're making a chesed and nefesh about how we connected to ourselves, to our husbands, and our children. Okay, so we're kind of like looking at the summer in the rearview mirror. I want you to think about, what are our hopes? What were your hopes for the summer? What daily or weekly activities were you proud of that brought you all closer as a family? You've got a great list there. Don't forget Frisbee. For the family and also for each kid and our husbands individually, what was hard about it? What got in the way? What worked? So that's kind of what I want to think about. I'm laughing because we just made a wedding last week. So, thanks for making dinner.
I'm going to give a shout out to Mrs. Kardash that she actually agreed to do this. Like, she was
just going to say, I'm getting dinner. I haven't cooked in a week. That's why you have Shabbat ruffles. You're so tired, you can't make supper. So, and I was thinking about that as that idea of connecting and kind of planning out, what do I really want to have happen? You know, as we're looking, we're talking about safe and soothing, I kept thinking about my rocking chair and Ah Baby. You know, when you get that 3-year-old who is, like, so dysregulated, and they're sweaty, and they smell, and they're, like, you know, it's mixing with the tears, and you're just holding them, and you're both kind of done, and they're just resting on you, and you don't know who wants to cry more, them or you. It's like, that's co-regulation when you're just doing that. So we want to think about how we could do all those lofty goals, and at the same time, be realistic on what our resources are. and most of you are working. And as Maura Winehouse said, the day is very long, which is an unbelievable opportunity, and it's also exhausting. And the laundry basket's going to refill faster. You're going to have a lot of wet towels and wet bathing suits and sunscreen and all that stuff going on. The floor is perpetually sticky. I'm almost wondering if you shouldn't mop until August 30th, just because, like, how many freeze pops can you clean up in one day? Maybe we should have a contest. But in all seriousness, we want to not miss that opportunity. I was laughing. We were doing an emergency shot test, so we're at, you know, Rabbi Zirkin's house, and our Mechutin live next door, so we're taking a walk at 10:15 at night. My husband and I, because we're waiting for the soup because he's doing a rush, you know, and we see our Mechutin. They're walking. It's like 11 o'clock at night, and they do it every night. Now, we say we're going to walk every summer. We're going to walk every day. So last summer, we walked once, and this time, while we walked to go, you know, shot this, we had to wait the half an hour for the soup. So what we do not set with a place like in real time does not happen, okay? I want to go to Park Plaza and visit my parents. That's great. If it's not written down, like, you know, Tuesday afternoon after your client, walk over to Park Plaza and do it, I'm not going because I haven't made a space for it. So just like I make a space to go to the dentist, with our kids and ourselves, we really have to carve out. Now, there's two kinds of people. The people who, like, need their calendar, and they're the people like, you're making me anxious, I don't do calendars. Take a piece of paper. Look, they gave you this really nice purple notebook. Write it down. Think about it. I was also listening as Maura Winehouse and Mrs. Joukowsky spoke. Some of the things to think about, in order to do all these things, I'm going to tell you a secret. You actually have needs. I work a lot with parenting now that I'm in private practice, and sometimes I work with Jews, I work with non-Jews. Okay, one of the basic, most important things, Mom, before you leave work, go to the bathroom and get a drink, okay? And if you need a power bar, eat one. See, because when you walk in the door, the likelihood of getting to the bathroom by yourself in a timely fashion is probably zero. Does anyone identify with that? I actually remember I had a rule at a certain point going, if you knock on the bathroom door, there better be blood and there better be a lot. Like, that was like my mantra, okay? Now, again, you want to be emotionally available, but first you got to take care of business, you know, like, because just like we do that with the kids, like, how many kids get dysregulated? We lived in Skokie for a lot of years, so my kids are, like, the first one on the bus and, like, the last one off, and I remember calling school for my boys and be like, you need to send them to the boys' room before they get on the bus, like, or otherwise, like, they come in the house, they knock over whatever little people are in their way, and it's just too much stress. That and split pea soup so that they're not hungry. So those are some things we want to talk about of, like, you're in the summer, and most of you are working. So for some of you, it's actually going to be less discretionary time, right? Because you generally take your kids to school, go to work. You may have a little wiggle room. You may not. In the summer, they actually don't go to bed. Have you noticed that? And there is always fun. And as Maura Winehouse said, which is so important, is you need to prepare that expectation that you may not have the same wiggle room that you do when you're working. You may have an afternoon that maybe you have an hour between carpools that you could run an errand, or maybe you go to Rosh Chodesh, you go to lunch with a friend, whatever you might do. And you may feel resentful in the summer, which is the exact opposite of what we want. So one of the things that we would plan now, so when you look back at August 30th, is what do I need to do to make sure that I am available? So the logistics might be eat something, go to the bathroom, get a drink, try to go to bed before, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. But what else do I need? And what do I really want to have happen? And how's that going to be connected? I was, as Maura Winehouse was saying, they really need it. Like, one of the easiest things to do, which I kind of came into parenting, like, I did some parenting, and then the cell phones came. Like, I didn't get a cell phone until I took my job at ATT 20 years ago. And it was great, I have to tell you. And then you have to learn how to master that, or it masters you, right? I had a rule, though, with the house phone. I don't answer the house phone pretty much from the time the kids walked in at 4 until 8. And then some kid picks it up and says, hello. And they go, oh, it's so-and-so. Like, well, why'd you answer the phone? Because I'm actually not available. So now I have to take care of the call. So I had to limit the distractions because I will do something else. I will not engage with my kids, and I will not listen to your day if I'm doing something else, right? But if I don't touch the phone, I have a lot less pull. So set up some things that let you be all in. For those people who are working, like, door-to-door, where that you are basically leaving with your kids and coming home with them, or walking in after them if you know, whatever that situation. If you have that work thing you need to finish and you have childcare coverage, finish it before you come in the door. I learned that from one of my children who said, could you please not come in if you said, could you just give me 3 minutes? Don't come home. We were fine till you got here, but we don't want to give you 3 minutes. They resent it. I had this epiphany. My dad was in the hospital, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. So my youngest, maybe it was 10. She's like about 7, okay? Maybe she's 9. So she's at a neighbor having a ball, but I got home at like 9 o'clock at night because, you know, that's what it was. I could not get her to bed. 2.5 hours of my undivided attention, I could not get that kid to sleep because she didn't get greeted by her mom. Mind you, when she normally comes home from school, I'm there, hi, how was your day? They're pretty much done with you in 20 minutes. Like, I'm not that interesting, okay? But if I'm not there to connect with them at the beginning, I can't catch up. It's like what takes 10 or 15 minutes, you're saying 5. I have never found a kid done in 5 minutes. Has anyone ever found a kid done in 5 minutes? And if you do, could you teach me how? Because I don't have the marriage done in 5 minutes. So think about that, of like the investment of being all in at the beginning lets you have a little bit more wiggle room a little bit later. So those are some things to think about as you're structuring your summer, of like, how are you going to find time for yourself? I want to acknowledge you're probably feeling busier in the summer and a little bit more torn, and noticing that you don't have that time to kind of refill your tank. So in that reflective, because remember we're at August 30th, what are the things that you were able to do that met your needs? It could be that you switched to paper plates in the summer. It could be, I mean, you all are going to hear my hacks that, like, you're going to, like, you know, like, yeah, we're on paper plates exclusively during the week since the third kid was born. He's turning 27 in July. No judgment. And my girl's like, we're going to eat on plates. I'm like, that's great. Enjoy. We eat on China for Shabbos. But, like, we did disposables because you can either have a happy, well-adjusted mother, but she needs a clean kitchen. So we did disposables. You know, you don't have to do very elaborate meals, you know. Every Thursday night, salmon, rice, pilaf, vegetable. I wish every day could be Thursday because it's very easy. It takes about 90 seconds to make. Did you know that? Provided you take the salmon out of the freezer. But make it easy on yourself. Make it easy. So some of those things to think about so you can be available. Oftentimes we feel torn between our husbands and our children. I'm going to be bold. Our husbands need to come first because children feel safe and secure when they know their parents are on the same page, parenting together and doing it in a consistent manner. Now, there are people who are single or divorced and don't have that, and they also could provide safety and security. It's a different model, but we want to be thoughtful about that. We do want to have fun. I have a couple of hacks that got me through parenting, which is, one, try and only buy games you like to play, okay? Just something I learned that I'm feeling really guilty about. Potato, by the way, more my house because I actually don't like the smell. So I did buy it. There were two goofas. We did buy it, but like it wasn't my favorite. And the playing in the dirt's really important. I used to say, I have a washing machine. Like one of the kids went through a puddle in the park in Laramie Park, if anyone knows, and he's covered in mud. So I'm like, well, live it up because you're already, you're going to have to get like undressed in the garage at this point. So like at least enjoy yourself. Getting dirty is really important. For us, too. Like, get a little dirty. You could shower again. Okay? It's really okay. I actually think, like, this season, June to August, is like 2 showers a day because it's just hot and sweaty. Thoughtful about it. Carve it out. You're not going to get 100 hours a week of discretionary time for yourself. But aim for a couple. You may have to change what you're doing. Let's say during the school year you have a class you like to go to or something you do at work that is extra. You may have to redistribute it. Don't give it up entirely, but make sure there's something in there that you look forward to. And you want to look forward to your kids. You want to look forward to them coming home from camp. You want to look forward to all those things, which sounds kind of Pollyanna, but with a little planning and a little structure, we could really enjoy our children. You know, also just think about, you know, we talk about co-regulating the kids and helping them calm down. Also look at yourself. So we may have been driving around Lakewood too much on Thursday, and you know that we're recalculating. Okay, so you can't make a left turn. Does anyone know that you can't really make a left turn in Lakewood? Did you know that? Like, if you're on the cyber? So let's just say by the time we're done before Shabbat Brachos, I am nauseous and hot and extremely cranky. So self-care. Now, I do still have children. She might be like 20 at this point. But I was like, so here's the deal. I'm done and I'm cranky. I think you need to take me back to the hotel because I'm no longer fit for human consumption. You guys can come back in about an hour. I'll have taken a shower and I'm going to be pleasant again. But right now I am nauseous. I am hot. I am tired. I am a five-year-old. So they, it's just true. I'm sorry. I'm an 85-year-old in this body. Like, I don't do hot. I don't do tired. I don't do weird places. Every family vacation that we did in nature, which we did trips like Moore White House described, like, on a budget. Like, we played Frisbee on vacation. One day we did an expensive trip, you know, like, we rented bikes. Then there was, like, three cheap trips. You know how it goes. And I'd be like, it smells like a lake, and I would have to be informed, but we're actually on a lake house, so it's gonna smell like a lake. And then I cry and say, I want to go home. And then I get told, like, you're gonna have to, like, man up and, like, pretend this is working for you. I'm like, you sure? And then the driving, the joke is, like, there's a plane ticket waiting for me in every city to just fly me to wherever we're going. I am worse than the children. Came like that for the factory. So you gotta just acknowledge it. So I could just say, I'm overstimulated, I am hot and tired. At the last wedding, I'm like about ready to throw myself on the floor with the grandchildren. And the oldest says to me, you have other children to marry off and the landsmen still think you're normal. Could you not throw yourself on the floor with Sippy, who was like three, eating ice cream off the floor? Mom, you could do it. You've been doing great. 15 more minutes, Mom. 15 more minutes. Like, so I really am. So I get overstimulated. I get hot. I get tired. So I've learned to accommodate that, which is when they were younger, I tried to go to bed early if it was possible. I did say things like, right now we're not jumping on Mom, because, like, we're done. I tried to do activities that would work for them and me. I do think I've exceeded my limit on Uno for probably the rest of eternity, but I'm good with Rummy Cube, okay? I could do Rummy Cube, we're done with Uno. But I kind of figured out things that worked for me with the kids. I don't know how many people have, like, are in learning schedules with my husband, my happy home in the evening, but there's a lot of times if there's a lot of single parenting for a lot of chunks of that afternoon. Is anyone kind of doing the mom show from, like, that 4 to 8 where their husbands may not be so available? Or hands up. Or hands up. Okay, so you got to plan for that. You have to think about what would that look like, because it is hard and it's also really important. If I could think about our rearview mirror on August 30th, what I would have hoped for, and I did, I think, I was laughing because my kids didn't go to camp until I worked in the summers because we didn't have any money. It's called tuition. So then it's called Camp Mom, which means we go to the Skokie Public Library and do the reading program. And then you got free coupons. You guys were like those kids getting the free coupons, right? Do you remember that? The free coupons, the reading program. You know, big treats for 7-Eleven guys. Like, that was, like, exciting. Biking in the park, chalk, all that stuff. Free days. Don't forget the free days. And the JCC pool. That pretty much covered it. Think about what works for you. Not everything is going to work. And also, we're not going to be in our game all the time. I want to let you know, I'm not always on my game. I just told you I almost threw myself on the floor after the last wedding. But think about what you need to do. And our kids need to see us wanting them to come home. Okay, I was in the schools about 20 years, and it was sometimes very disheartening where you would hear a principal or a teacher say, like, I really think they want to drop their kids off at 7 a.m. and then pick them up at 7 p.m. all jammied with their teeth brushed and already have discussed their day. Now, okay, I'm going to be honest, there are a couple of days a year I would like that service, don't get me wrong, but as a daily basis, we should want to be with our kids. We should be thinking about structuring Shabbos and Yom Tov so they're thinking it's geschmack. Okay. Now, we have really important social needs. It's very important to meet your social needs. It's very important to take care of yourself. We just have to balance it so that it's not coming at that cost. So I like to plan. I like to take a calendar. You know, who here has projects they would like to accomplish this summer? Does anyone have, like, I want to do my Shutterfly books. I need to organize the kids' clothes. Like, yeah? Okay. How are you making that happen? It probably won't. I'm gonna tell you a hack.
Gotta put it in.
What?
Put in your calendar.
But it doesn't have to be, like, extensive. Print out June, July, and August. You know, like the one pager cheapo depots, you know, you print it out. You look at your schedule. You say, wow, I have a break on Tuesdays from 9 to 10 and Friday mornings from 10:30 to 11:30. I am going to play on. I don't do Shutterfly. I have children who do Shutterfly. I say, I need photos. But if you're good at that, carve it out and put it there. Okay? I procrastinate at things that people think are hard chores, so they think I don't procrastinate. I actually, one of my kids who's married with children said, Mom, you never procrastinate. I said, no, I procrastinate by doing things that other people don't enjoy, like cleaning the bathroom. Okay? I like, if I'm procrastinating, I'm cleaning the bathroom. In fact, before I prepared my talk, I organized my pantry. Like, why? Because it was anything but sitting down and doing what had to get done. Mm-hmm. Think about what works for you. Think about what you want to get done. Carve it out. Okay? Also, think about what your children need. You should not, don't be messing around with Shutterfly when they walk in the door from camp. You're going to be frustrated and they're going to be frustrated. And that was a hard learn. I want to be really clear. Bracha, I appreciate that you said we make mistakes. Oh, I still make mistakes. I remember my first child coming home from seminary, and I'm like, so I'm like not really sure how to do this, like transitioning you to the adult thing. So like, I'm probably going to mess up. In fact, I've already messed up. And then marrieds, I say, you know, we're new at the marrieds thing. Like one yontif, the first time we had two families home, we're like, so we're new at this. So we're really sorry about that. You know, like, how do we need to structure it differently? It's not about not making mistakes. It's about recovering and repairing. So just kind of think of those things and keep it small. I kind of think about when we talk about like Elul, we want to like improve ourselves, and they say, you know, take a Kabbalah and then like cut it in half. I kind of feel like that with like your expectations for the summer. Like, I'm going to organize the closets. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to walk with my friend every day. I'm going to work. I'm going to finish my master's and my dissertation. And I'm going to solve, you know, the cure for cancer. So maybe we should start with, we're going to go once, we're going to walk around the block every night once. You know, I'm going to call my friend from seminary who I would love to talk to more than twice a year. I'm going to talk to her once a month. Like, put it in your, keep it manageable. Also, when we talk about compassion, we need to have compassion for our kids. We also need to have compassion for ourselves. We're going to burn dinner. We're going to forget to take the chicken out of the oven or out of the freezer. Anyone ever have that experience? Dinner does not make itself unless you take the chicken out. I have noticed that. We're going to say something rude. We're going to be short with one of the kids. That idea to repair of saying, I'm really sorry. I wasn't expecting that. Or I shouldn't have yelled, I'm sorry. What would you like? Or I'm sorry I was distracted. Like, those are really important things to be able to do. And then set up the physical environment that it works for you. Hanukkah, we had a bunch of kids in. We had them a lot of milk. It was really great. I never touched my phone after Shabbos. It's plugged in. Apparently, one of my siblings had called. I didn't answer it, so they called my husband. Apparently, Dad took a trip to the ER. Now, I'm always on dad duty. Well, I never touched my phone. My husband never shared it with me because my brother was there. It's under control. So by the time I picked up my phone, it's like the 10:30, 11 o'clock where it says, hi, everyone's okay. We're on our way home. I have pizza for Mom and Dad. I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice because I was spared all the aggravation. So I enjoyed the kids. And had I seen it, I would have felt like I had to go to the hospital. I would not have been available and I would have been distracted. And I said, I'm like, oops, sorry, didn't check my phone. And someone else goes, good, you always are there. It's really fine. You could sit this one out. It spared me a lot of aggravation. You don't need to know everything. Not every text needs to be returned, not every email, and not every phone call. I like to think of that like it's actually a tool for me. Did you know that the phone is for me? It's for my convenience, not for somebody else's. Okay, you might have some variances. I did answer the phone if I had kids who were out of the house. You know, if you have a 12-year-old at a play date, yeah, you should check the phone if one of your kids are calling, and depending where you're holding, if you need to pick up for a parent. But you don't have to be so available. And so think about August 30th. Think about your rearview mirror and pick a couple of doable goals. That would be what I would recommend. And no, we have not figured out how to walk every night, just in case you're wondering. But we've watched other people do it. Did you know that? There are plenty of people who are quite busy who manage to go for a walk every night. So just in case you're thinking that I always pull this off, you know, I've always said, just remember, if I'm doing something awesome someplace, somewhere else something is suffering. If I'm really investing in the kids and having a great time, well, dinner might be really sketchy. In fact, I think the words one of my kids hate the most when she asks what's for dinner, it's generally on Tuesdays. I'm like, so I'm not really sure. She's like, that is always a bad answer, Ma. Because when you're not really sure, it means it's sketchy dinner night. I'm like, that is true. Sketchy dinner night.
Well, what do you serve?
That's a good question. I actually actually do make dinner every night, but these last couple of years have gotten a little rough. But I'll tell you a secret. They like a good dinner. They don't want to hear sketchy dinner night, okay? And actually, things I would have wished, I have a tremendous chalrata. I never did breakfast for dinner, guys. If you could save it, do not make a good dinner 6 nights a week. Do not, under any circumstances. You haven't met my mother. She plattered on Thursday night. She would put the food on a platter to bring to the table. Mind you, I do paper plates and platter if the kids aren't around 9 by 13 on the table, okay? Do breakfast for dinner Thursday night. Do something. Do not make a good dinner every night. I have tremendous regret. Tremendous. Because now I want to do sketchy dinner night. And she's like, Mother, there was no protein or there was no carb or where is the vegetable and the salad and how come there's no soup? Okay, trust me that I had to say at the end of the rearview mirror, make one night sketchy dinner night. Make it on purpose.
One day, I just told her that my biggest flex is that I don't make dinner anymore. My kids don't eat it. They like frozen pizza and noodles, and they're happier, and I'm happier. So if anybody needs permission to not make dinner.
So I had a meme. Somebody sent me a meme that I have in my Framia, which I'm locked out of. Thank you very much, because it has the wrong email address. And it says, if you wait long enough, they'll eat cereal and milk. Follow me for more recipes. And I was a young, my first two sets of mechutin could be my parents. So the second set, like 5.5 years ago, she goes, oh, we have cereal and milk sometime. I was like, appalled. How could you serve cereal and milk or eggs for dinner? You know, this is like 5.5 years ago. Just remember that. I remember thinking, like, how could she do that? Fast forward going, if we could get that kid married, I don't have to cook ever again. Like, this is my reason for shidduchim. Get your blow dryer off my toilet seat, and I don't want to make dinner anymore. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean I don't invest in her. I'll sit on the couch and talk to you for hours. Okay? I will discuss the pros and cons of which Shabbos dress, and what do we think about what? I'll do that. But please, please don't tell me you don't want to eat pargiot. That's a big no-no. And I can't anymore. Make your own dinner. Okay? So something to think about. Don't lose your sense of humor. Think of me when you're about to lose control and you're hot and tired. Just know there are other 5-year-olds in the world and you need to fake it. Just as my kids said, Mom, fake it. Because right now they think you're normal. But enjoy it. Make a list. Cut it in half. And also, I do want to say one thing. Get a mentor. I'm thinking, I called Maura Winehouse. I was already a bubby and I had a question. And I'm like, she knows what I'm talking about. She has excellent judgment, and I don't need to carry this alone. So I remember calling you, like, recently. You remember I called you. I had a question. She's like, I know what you're concerned about. It's absolutely 100% fine. I'm like, great, thank you. No, and have a friend 5 years older than you, because then you don't have to navigate the next stage of life, like how to make a bar mitzvah. When do you toilet train? What do you do for a bar mitzvah? How do you do seminary? I actually nailed my friend. She forgot to tell me how expensive boys in Israel are for yeshiva. I said, you didn't tell me it's going to cost me all that money. She goes, I'm really sorry. So get a mentor. None of us do it alone. We don't. So that would be what I would suggest for the summer. And remember that you could give them cereal and milk, give them with a smile, and, you know, pick Uno. But again, only games you like. Okay? Cheap games you like. Generally works for me too. And then you have a bunch of Q&A for us.
Thank you very much, first of all.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I think that was like the most diverse presentation we've had on.
Well,
if you have Jatowski and Mr. Karnashel.
Well, you have three stages of life. You've got the young mom, you've got the young bubby, and you've got the young Ultimately, like,
right?
You've got all three stages.
That's
it is.
And three different personalities.
Right, and three different personalities.
That's more important. I don't think we have so much time left for all the questions, but it's getting late. People do have to go. So I think what we should do is let's have each presenter choose one, like, core question from the list of questions, if possible. And after we do, you answer that one question, if you can do, like, your end off, just to close off.
Okay.
Your, I think those people have got to go.
Okay.
So wait for them. So pick one question. If you pick one question, provide an answer, and then close off your presentation if you don't mind. Okay.
Whoever can go first.
I'll start. I mean, the only one I would even attempt to look at was the one that says chinuch on it. And there are two questions under the chinuch here. Is there an easy way to bring in chinuch because your daily, besides your daily lives and how you act, etc., into the summer while making sure your kids don't lose the structure of school? So I guess the question means, should we have some chinuch in our daily summer day or not, type of thing? Okay. And should parents encourage some type of learning into their schedule beyond the daily things like davening, avos habanim, etc.? Okay, so let's put it this way. You know, most of the classes, especially in the younger grades, have their summer packets or binders or booklets or whatever it is. We always tell the children, this is not homework that you must do. It is something that is valuable for a few reasons. Number one, it can give them a little bit of structure for the children who need the structure and enjoy the structure. Number two, it keeps them in a learning mode, so to speak, so that they don't completely lose it when they come back in September. It's like they have to restart again from, you know, Shesha Sabay Bracious. It's kind of like they're reviewing everything that they learned over the year and they're ready to move on to the next stage. And for some children, you know, it's just, they get a prize at the end, so there's a motivation there. Because it's fun, they do it, they bring it back, they show it to the mower's proud of them, they get a prize, and it's something to look forward to. However, you know your child. For some children, summer homework is poison. They absolutely don't want to think about school for 1 second. They want to be completely on vacation. Respect that. Validate it and move with it, and they don't have to do the summer homework, and you go to the Dallas store and buy the prize for them at the end of the summer because they were so good and they had such a good summer. Forget it. They don't have to do it. Honestly. Same thing goes for the Tefillah Tilmud Chesed chart. Davening every day, saying Tehillim, doing Chesed. For some children, it's great. It gives them structure. It gives them every day something to look forward to, something they know that they're connecting with Hashem. Wonderful. Some children, they don't want to do it. They don't want to daven. They don't want to do, they're not interested. They're not doing Tilim. They don't want to do Kriya. Forget it. Fine. They don't have to. Create something else with them. Discuss it with them. Have ideas from them. How can you, you know, do mitzvos? What mitzvos would you like to be involved in? How can you connect with Hashem every day in a different way? Not through davening, not through Tehillim, in a different way. Have a conversation. Come up with other ideas. Wonderful. It really depends on the child. You cannot answer a one-size-fits-all over here. It's Chanuch Lanar Apit Darko. You know your child. You have a conversation. And whatever works for them works for you. The worst thing is to try to force them to do something that they don't want to do. Never, 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 never do that. Just meet them where they're at and help them develop in a healthy way.
I don't know which question I should be answering.
I don't know. Meeny, miny, mo.
No,
but
you just okay. You covered a lot, though, so that was great.
Yeah, well, I saw the list of questions.
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to take the, after managing the home and children all day and afternoon, how can we balance our own burnout with the desire to maintain more intimate connection when that spouse comes home later than expected? That is probably one of the most challenging things in the universe and one of the most important, okay? Because I don't know about anybody else, but as the day wears on, my social skills diminish greatly. Has anyone noticed that? In fact, my mommy license expires. So one of my kids said that was terrifying to them, so I stopped saying it because they said, you can't say that. If I say my mommy license is expired, that like really freaked her out, so I had to actually stop. Because what it sounded like is, you can't keep me safe. So I did stop and say my mommy license has expired. I do have zero parenting skills at 2:30 in the morning, by the way. I'm like, you could just nurse again, I don't care, or just come in my bed, but I just go to sleep. So I'm not held responsible for 2:30 in the morning, but like I know my limitations. What I would think about is what we a little bit talked about, of that recharge the batteries, which start with, like, if you think about Maslow and the hierarchy of needs, like, we have our physical needs and those safety needs before we can, like, self-actualize. But try and take, I remember, the kids actually remember this. I'd be exhausted. I probably look like a schmata, you know, like after they come from school, and I served supper because we did not eat like a family the first 13 years because he didn't come home early enough. So I, you know, he like riled them up right after they're in pajamas and ready to go to sleep. Yeah, he still does that. Actually, the new rule grandchildren household is, you wake them, you take them. Abba, go downstairs. We're coming for Shabbos. We're not riling anybody up. He is the same Zadie as he was dad. He missed the kids all day, and he basically thinks it's Disneyland. Okay. So one of the things I did before he came home was I would go to the bathroom, get a drink, and I'd throw, like, a little lipstick or a little blush. Or I had this struggle of, like, I wear shades a lot of the house. How do you not have a shade to lunch? Should I put a shade to lunch? Does he even care? So, like, that was, like, the thing. But, like, a 10-second freshen up. I think my mother also did it before my father came. I'm like, just look like you, like, are not, like, like, okay. And, yes, you're going to fake it, and you're probably abusing caffeine. I get it. So I would think about acknowledging that, and also keep in mind, unless they're, like, dumping you and they're on the golf course all day, everybody's working for the family. If my husband is learning or teaching or grading papers, he is doing that for the family. So it's not like he's off in the Bahamas living it up while I'm taking care of all the kids. So if we can have that, that chashivas haTorah, I think that it does give us the better mindset, whereas he's just as exhausted. And he's going to make every effort to come in the house smiling. Actually, it was disclosed to me this year. Well, they married 33 years at the end of the summer. And he said, you know, Laramie Park, when you walk from Skokie Yeshiva, there's baseball in the warm weather. Anyone notice that? Apparently, why did he always walk in the house with a smile? Okay. It's funny because at the Shav, at the Ofruf, his brother said, really, he has no gaiva and no late summers. So I whispered to my sister, yeah, because I have all the gaiva and I have all the late summers. He used to stop and sit on the bench for 3 to 5 minutes and watch about a half an inning of Little League just to let go of the stress of the day. So when he walked in the door, he was smiling. Now, I'm glad he didn't tell me the first 32 years because I would have throttled him had I known that he could have been home 4 minutes earlier. Like, let's be clear. And I had a rule. Like, if you say you're going to be home at 7, at 7:01, I've lost my marbles. Like, let's be clear. So that kind of the chashivas of you're working for the family. We're working for the kids. We're working for the marriage. And if we could remember that it's not I hold all the burden and you have the life of Riley. If we could keep that respect and understanding, that I think would serve us well. And that would give it and make a date night. That would be my record. Like, you have to schedule a date night or you won't. In fact, we used to have the problem of we don't do it unless we go out of town. Like, I don't buy potato peelers unless we go on vacation. Did you know that? My husband said to me when we had the vart, he said, I have to take you to Lakewood to go out to dinner with you. I'm like, apparently. So, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. I mean, most of us are in a pretty tight budget. Thank you, Hashem, tuition. I said, it keeps us out of the casinos. But, like, like, what would we do? I'd get into trouble. I'm joking. I don't gamble. I'm actually anti. But think about inexpensive ways to do it. Make a nice dinner. We like seltzer. Okay, have a cold seltzer together. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It just has to be. If you like to have a snack and a cup of tea together, have a date at 9 o'clock and talk about your day at 9 to 9:30. That would be like, keep it again, keep it manageable and easy. Don't make a lot of barriers. If you need a babysitter, you're not going to do it. If it's going to cost a lot of money, you're not going to do it. So think about the things, just like Maura Winehouse said, the activities that work with our kids, work with our spouses. They don't need a lot. We had a backgammon set. Okay, we play backgammon. Okay? We play backgammon. Okay? We're nerds. It's okay. Keep it, and keep the low tech. That's what I would do. If that would re-energize us, I would do that. And if you have an opportunity to rest your eyes so you're a little bit more attentive when you're laying down with the kids, so take a little nap. And then you'll be a little bit more rejuvenated. But these are hard and good years. And they go really fast. I know they don't feel fast, but they say the days are long and the years are short. So that's what I would really recommend. In fact, when I'm working with couples, that's the first thing they do. Because they're nice people, but they haven't spent any time together. I guess if we don't invest in our spouses, when, believe it or not, when you don't have kids at home, what are you going to have? So we need to be investing. I have to learn mahjong. All the old people say you got to play mahjong. Like, I'm 52. I'm going to have to learn a mahjong. So build your mahjong now with your spouse. So that's what I would do.
Thank you.
I don't think I can talk to the two of you. Okay. But I will answer really quickly. Like, what can parents do to help children identify, express, and manage big emotions in healthy ways? Just because I'll say what I try to do with my kids. And again, they're on the younger side, but they still, we can still talk about those big emotions, because I want them to have the foundational skills now. It's simple things, like literally you wouldn't even realize, but like we're on the way to school, we have a tantrum. We live 3 minutes from YGT, Baruch Hashem, but we have a tantrum. And so you would not believe that telling a kid, hey, can you go look for all the purple things on the way there? There aren't that many. Look for all the purple things. Can you see all the purple things? Instantly. Like, this distraction is amazing. And then I will still say, I know you had a hard time. But I can't have that conversation with that kid when he is, you know, worked up and angry and whatever it is. Like, words aren't going to matter. So we need to, like, calm the temperature down, right? On, like, for ourselves also, it's not going to help. We'd be like, calm down, right? None of those things actually work.
Here,
let's
escalate.
Right.
Just tell
so
me
like,
to calm down.
What is it that you can do in that moment, that quick second? You know, like, there's always a bunch of tips. But, like, I do the breathing. We do pizza breathing. I don't know if anyone's tried doing that, but it's actually really cute. Or we'll do birthday cake or whatever it is, but usually pizza breathing, and we'll just say, okay, I'm making a pizza, I'm putting it in the oven, it's really hot, it's coming out. Okay, so can you help me breathe? We're gonna breathe for this piece, then you wanna make a piece for your sister, and like here we're gonna blow in another one, and like we're gonna go through and do a whole pie, five, like, you know, whatever it is, 8 times. And like they're visualizing it. I'm like, is it a cheesy pizza? Is it a saucy pizza? Is it getting colder now? Do you wanna warm it back up? Like, use your imagination, but you'd be surprised in those quick moments of that, and it helps, like, me calm down, too, because we all get wrapped up in that motion, and I also do a lot of breathing technique, like, smell the flower, blow the candle, or blow the balloon, and we look, or whatever it is, we'll be able to smell the flower, we'll imagine the flower, we'll imagine the color that it looks like, what type of flower it might be. Is it tall? Is it short? Like, you can make it into a whole thing, or you can make it into 2 seconds. I'll say that has been super helpful, and I use the calm corner a lot. I'll be like, sorry, sending you to the calm corner. You need to calm down. Here's a book. Now, my daughter's 2, and she literally will pull out a book, and she'll be like, I'm calming down. So, like, believe it or not, they're learning these skills very quickly and very easily because I'm trying to model that right away. So, if that works for her, like, great, amazing. Like, she'll take out that book. And my son, like, he's gonna do whatever he's gonna do, and hopefully not destroy the house. But, you know, like, they're trying to get their emotions out. So allowing them to do that in a way that feels comfortable and safe for them, and you're doing it with them. Like, I love the co-regulation piece because I think, like, no matter how old a kid person gets, they still need to be. They need some co-regulation. And sometimes I will call a friend, or I'll call my husband and be like, I need to calm down for a minute, so you're going to help me through, and you're going to talk me through, and we might do, like, the same kind of distraction pieces. Ultimately, though, I'm not going to leave them with just the distraction. I will also have that conversation about, like, what was the bottom emotion behind that when I'm able to have that conversation. But I have to get myself into that working brain again, because we're not thinking that way. So that's been helpful. But I will say, talking about emotions with your kids is really great using books. And they're really helpful. And one of my favorite books that I've done when I do Smart Kids is I Feel That Way and That's Okay. And it's by Ohel. And they even come with puppets, and they're really cute. And I don't recommend getting the puppets because they're very expensive. But you can get the book. It's a really great book, and it talks about, like, how every feeling is okay, and it shows, like, the different ways the feelings are in the body. It's really good for young kids, and as you get older, like, they have these emotions. I think about it for young kids a lot because that's what I deal with, but it works, like, books work for older kids also. You can use that. So that's what I would recommend.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone else, for coming, and you, all of you, for coming out tonight. And take some food for your family.
Yeah, I think everybody should take home food.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't give my kid dinner tonight.
This is it.